Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Part 7. They had taken one of the stairs going up and found themselves on a floor with different wallpaper. When they took another stairway later on, they found themselves walking through an indoor garden with vines hanging from miniature gazebos, plants growing in pots, and large trays filled with dirt. Some of the plants were almost large enough to be called trees. Jim spotted orange trees, little palms, and even a mini cherry tree with white blossoms.
"I wonder if this is on the official tour," he said, running a hand over the leaves of a palm tree.
"Why would anyone have a garden like this inside when there are grounds outside?" Matt said.
"Maybe because someone doesn't leave the house anymore, remember?"
Jim continued, opening every door they walked past now. They had been to living rooms, parlors, and once even a grand lounge or ballroom with a crystal chandelier.
"You know something," Matt said. "Everything we've seen so far looks like it hadn't been disturbed for ages. Everything looked like a museum, you know. But this..."
He reached his hand down and touched the soil in one of the plant pots.
"This soil is wet. I can smell the moisture. Someone has watered these plants recently."
"It could just be an automated system."
"In a building this old?"
Matt shook his head.
"I don't think so." "In that case, maybe we're getting closer to..."
Jim stopped as he opened one door to his right and looked into a room that differed wildly from the organized rooms they had seen until now. It looked like a study or office, with a messy desk and an old battered couch. Bookshelves lined three walls. A window filled the fourth, letting in a little light. Right outside the window, branches and leaves of a large tree obscured the view, giving the light an odd green color. The desk was stacked high with books as well, and a reading lamp on it was lit, casting a little yellow square of light on the open book on the blotter.
"Looks like someone was just here,"
Jim said, stepping inside. The room was small enough that he could see that the person wasn't there anymore, however.
"And this room looks lived in, like someone actually spends time in here."
"This is kind of like one of my friends' room," Matt said. "He doesn't want his mom to clean his room, so it's always messy while the rest of the place is clean and tidy. Do you think this guy's the same way?"
"You mean he doesn't want his magic house to change his room?"
"Maybe so.
But where is he, then? He has to be somewhere close by."
"Should we try calling him? Maybe he can hear us."
Matt picked up the open book on the desk and looked at it. "Whoever it is, he's reading something in a language I can't even read."
Jim walked to the desk and looked at the book. "I think it's Russian. Never really got around to learning much else than English and German. Never saw the need for it."
"So, should we wait here for him, whoever he is? I mean, at least this looks like he spends time here."
Jim wandered back to the door and looked up and down the corridor.
"We could, but I have a feeling we're close now. We're in the secret part of the mansion, the part where he's actually living. He might be just around the corner. But if we leave this room, we don't know if we can find our way back to it,"
Matt said.
"I say we stay here."
Jim cocked his head and listened, then smiled.
"Doesn't matter what we do. Can you hear that?"
Matt could. Somewhere down the corridor, someone was whistling a tune and getting closer. Matt even recognized the tune. His mother was a big fan of Louis Armstrong, and this was his West End Blues. Jim and Matt quickly stepped into the corridor, and heard the whistling approach. About 30 seconds later, a man rounded a corner of the corridor and came toward them. He was carrying a book in one hand, but looked like he was taking his time. He was tall, thin, and blonde, and even without glasses, Jim recognized him from the framed picture in the parlor where they had come in. There was no doubt that this man was Howard Bruce. He was wearing very normal clothes, a blue work shirt and jeans, but there was something about the way he walked that made Jim think of the debutante balls he had accompanied Ginger to on a few occasions and hated every moment of. It was a graceful, almost gliding way of walking, like he was wearing an invisible suit of gold. He stopped whistling and smiled, held out both arms, and said in a voice filled with pleasure and contentment, "Jim, I'm so glad to finally see you here." Jim looked at Matt, then back at Bruce. "You know me? I've never met you before." "Oh, well, of course, we've never actually met, but I've watched your work with great interest. And this," he gestured at Matt, "this, I take it, is your partner, Andrew Picard. I read all about you in the news." "Actually, this is my employee, Matt Boyle. Andrew's busy elsewhere." "You're telling me you get the news in here?" "Well, of course." Howard Bruce put his hand in his pocket, and it came out with a cell phone. "Everyone has one of these nowadays. Took some getting used to, sure, but I can actually read the newspaper on it." "Look, that's wonderful, but we've been in here for..." "Yes, yes, of course you have." Howard gestured dismissively and pointed toward the room they had just stepped out of. "I've got something to eat and drink in here. You must be thirsty and hungry. How long have..." "Oh, never mind. Of course, you don't know that because of the time spell. Come in and sit down, and we'll talk." "Where's Saeed?" Jim said, not moving and feeling an insane urge to reach for his gun. The calm and relaxed way the man was acting irritated him. "Who?" Howard blinked. "The boy that vanished in here today. The boy we're here to find."
Saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. "Oh." Howard closed his eyes for a moment. "Let me see if I can find him. Yes, he's in the mansion, near the stairs on the second floor. Would you like me to bring him here?" "Yeah, I would. And while we're at it, how many other people do you have in here?" "Oh, a few," Howard shrugged. "People who get too close to a time spell get sucked in. It's pretty much unavoidable." "So what, you keep them prisoner in here?" Jim said. "Oh, no, hardly. But eventually they will end up starving to death or go dehydrated." Howard's voice sounded like that didn't concern him very much. "Why? For what possible reason could you want someone to die of thirst in your own house?" Jim said. "I don't. But it's not like I asked them to come here, you understand." "Your foundation runs the tours." "Well, that's something they came up with on their own. Not my fault. Besides, it's not really something I worry about. It's been a few over the years, sure, but not that many. And most of the ones who got lost actually found their way out again. Eventually. But enough about that. Come on in and have a cup of tea. I'll make the mansion bring the kid up here if you need him. After all, he was really only a means to an end." "What do you mean?" Jim followed Howard into the room with Matt right behind him. "I mean that I made sure this particular one vanished so that the staff would contact you and bring you here so we could talk. Oh, and speaking of staff, I believe there's another one of those in here as well. Why don't I just send both of them outside instead? That way the two of us can talk undisturbed." "Three of us," Matt said. Howard made the dismissive hand gesture again. Oh, you don't really matter in this particular situation. Actually, why don't you just head out of the house as well? I'll make sure the way is open for you, and you can take care of the business with the boy and the young lady from the staff.
You think I'm leaving Jim alone with you? Matt said, feeling his muscles flex as the cougar in him began to assert itself.
I don't know what kind of Hogwarts-type thing you've got going on in this place, but
if you're staying, I'd appreciate it if you'd be quiet. Jim and I have grown-up matters to discuss.
Howard looked at him with a gaze that was sharp as a shard of ice. It was the look of a businessman used to being obeyed.
Hey, what do you mean?
Matt began, but Jim put his hand on Matt's arm and turned him away from Howard.
It's okay. Go on. Actually, I think it's a good idea if you get Saeed and Jean out of here.
He lowered his voice.
I don't trust this guy at all, and if we can get them the hell away from him, that's a win in my book.
But you're going to be alone with him,
Matt protested.
I can take care of myself. Besides, what's he going to do, kill me?
Jim winked and still kept his voice low.
I think this guy is like me, an immortal of some kind. I'll talk to him in private, but if something should happen, I'd also feel a lot more comfortable knowing that you could go back and get the others. Rhea could rip this house apart like an eggshell if she wanted to find me, so if he tries to double-cross me, it's your job to get her.
Fine, but I'm not happy about this, Matt said, turning around and facing Howard again. How do I find Jean and Saeed?
They're both moving through the mansion, so I'll lead them to the front door. If you walk out of this room, turn left and then right where you saw me appear before. You will come to a stairway leading down to the front door. You can all meet up there.
What if...
Matt hesitated a moment and looked at Jim.
What if he's lying and I just end up wandering the labyrinth alone?
Howard sighed.
This is what it's come to. Nobody trusts the guy with a bag of tricks anymore.
Listen, young man, I want you out of my home, not in it. It's Jim I wanted to see, and he's here. You're of no consequence.
Go on, Jim said. Get out of here, Matt. I'll see you outside.
Matt stepped backward into the corridor, took one last look at Jim and Howard, and moved to the left. He held his breath as he turned the corner and saw the brown wooden stairway leading down, which he and Jim had walked up what seemed like days ago. He ran downstairs, holding one hand on the banister, and after descending two floors, he reached the entrance hall. When he took the last step off the stairs, the light from the sun outside suddenly turned off, like someone had flicked a switch. The parlor and the cloakroom were now dark. Matt looked at his watch and saw it was suddenly 2 a.m.
I think I caught up with the real time outside, he thought, just as he heard footsteps coming from both sides.
Out of the parlor came a young boy, looking at him with such relief that he thought the boy was going to cry. From the cloakroom came Jean, stumbling a little and without her blazer, but looking a bit more composed.
Mr. Boyle!
Jean said, almost loud enough to be a shout. She looked around.
This is the front door! How is that possible? We were upstairs and...
She flapped her arms.
I've been wandering around for ages!
She spotted the boy, who now had begun to weep silently, probably in relief, Matt thought. Jean spread her arms out, grabbed him and lifted the boy up in a hug before grabbing Matt around the shoulder.
I don't understand anything, but the most important thing is that we found Saeed. Let's get out of here, right now.
No objections there, Matt said, and went to the front door.
It was unlocked, and they all stepped out into the warm California night. Matt took a deep breath, and next to him sensed Cougar doing the same.
"Where's Mr. Corrigan?"
Jean asked, still holding the weeping boy in her arms.
"It's a good question," Matt said,
looking up at the mansion as they walked away from the porch. But I think he's taking a meeting.